Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
The Bible lists fear as a great sin, and we're not to be afraid. Perfect love casteth out all fear, and we are to be strong in the Lord, and we're not to be alarmed, because alarm is just another word for fear. In fact, what you call an alarm clock is really a fear clock. It goes off and scares you awake every morning. I hate those alarm clocks. I'd rather awaken by somebody kissing me on the cheek. Yeah, Sister Becky, let's try that. Stand together, if you would, for the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. I want to talk to you for a few moments on the subject, the boldness of absolute confidence. You may be seated. They say that fear of public speaking is the number one fear in the world, and reason why people are so fearful, they're just not prepared. If you're prepared, it's not bad. I've been unprepared. I was in Costa Rica and visiting the what we would call the Senate there, and they said to me, you will have 30 minutes. I said, 30 minutes to what? They said, to speak to the Senate. I just walked in. I had no idea I was speaking to anybody. And so I said, 30 minutes to speak to the Senate about what? They said, about Costa Rica and America relationship. I said, oh, okay. I went out into the out into the foyer of that building, and they had all kinds of tracts about America and Costa Rica. I took those into the restroom and read as fast as I could and gave a 30-minute speech on America's relationship with Costa Rica and was invited back to do the same thing again next year. And they didn't know it. I got it out of their track record. I was a little fearful because I was not prepared. And so preparation will cast out fear. The Bible is a book of confidence and boldness. The timid and doubtful receive little mention and no respect in the Bible. If you're going to be a world changer, if you're even going to change your life, you have to give confidence and you have to become bold. I read on Facebook, it's all right to be a fearful Christian. The Bible, the Facebook says so. But the Bible condemns it as a fatal sin. Perfect love cast out all fear. Facebook is a book of man's flawed opinion. And if you get any information from that, it's probably wrong. The Bible is the record of God's truth. And so it doesn't matter what Facebook says, but it ultimately matters greatly what the Bible said. Confidence. God intended for us to have confidence. The two greatest enemies of confidence are misplaced confidence in the flesh of men. And the other one is when we come to the place that we are condemned. Condemnation and misplaced confidence will destroy your confidence. A man told me that he was a born-again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking, Holy Ghost-filled Christian until Jimmy Swaggart fell into sin and he threw away his Bible, never went back to church again. It was over. It's called misplaced confidence. I've got confidence in good people, but not to that degree. And the second thing is, I realize that condemnation is an enemy of the believer. Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, then we have confidence toward God. I don't have a lot of confidence in your flesh and less in mine. I just put my confidence in God. Cast not away our confidence, the Apostle Paul writes in the book of Hebrews, which hath great recompense of reward. Do you have confidence in God? Is your Christianity a hope so, maybe so, an affair? Are you absolutely planted? Are the storms of this time shaking your faith? Are you sure? Is your anchor holding firm? It takes confidence. I have confidence in the character of God, that my God is not a Heckel and is not a Jekyll and Hyde character, but my God is a good God all the time. I have confidence in his character, confidence in his goodness, confidence in his integrity. I trust my God. My trust is in the Lord. I lean not onto my own understanding. I lean not into the military strength of our government, but my strength is in the Lord. Confidence in the mercy of God. I am convinced that his mercy is new every morning. I am convinced that his mercy endures forever. I have confidence in God's mercy. I have confidence in the protection of God, that if I am in the Father's hand, and I am, by selection and choice, he called me and I said yes. And so I'm in the Father's hand and no man can pluck me out. I have confidence in the protection of God. I have confidence in the promises of God. They are not false promises, but they are yea and amen. I, like Abraham, believe that he is able to perform that which he has promised. And I believe that God's promises are yes, and God is not slack to perform his promises. I have confidence in his word, that heaven and earth may pass away, but the word of God endureth forever. I have confidence in his love, that nothing can separate me from his love, not things past, not things to come, not things that are present, not principalities, nor powers, not demons or angels, nor people can separate me from the love of God. I have confidence in God. And the Bible said when he was lifted up, his train is everything about God. His mercy, his grace, his protection, his promise. His train filled the temple. I have strength and confidence in God and his train. And it fills my temple, which is the temple, my body, the temple of the Holy Ghost. And that affects me. Because the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Confidence in God gives me boldness in any generation. It gives me generational confidence. When I was a young man, and I can join with the writer and say, I was young, and now I am old, but I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Yes, I have got confidence, and it has made me bold. But the text says this, if you have confidence, it makes you bold. But now we get to the basis of it. It grants us access. It grants us access. Let's talk about that for just a moment. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. If you have confidence, you come boldly into the presence of God. You don't slip around, you come to the front seat. You don't come shyly with condemnation, but you come with confidence and blessed assurance, as the old song said, that God is not only going to be there, but he is going to welcome you because he sees you in the perfection of Jesus Christ, washed in his blood, wearing the cloak of his righteousness. And God said, all of ye that are weary, come. All of ye that are heavy laden, come into my presence, because boldness gives you access to the kingdom of Almighty God. And it's a wonderful thing to realize the Bible is filled with people that understood that God was, is, and will be, that he's a good God, not a creator only, but a redeemer and a reconciler, not only one that was, but a restorer of them that will follow him. And so they get confidence in the Bible, and they are filled with confidence and boldness. And it makes Abraham talk to God about sparing Sodom and Gomorrah. He says 50, 40, 30, and 10. He reasons with God with boldness. It causes Jacob to wrestle with God on the mountainside. It caused a woman with an issue of blood to come through the crowd of theologians and take a hold of the hem of his garment. It causes blind Bartimaeus to shout louder than anybody. And when he is offered a reprieve that he should quieten down, the Bible said he called even the more so. It causes the woman with an adversary to be avenged to come every day and knock, and even though she is told no, she knocks until the door is open. Boldness is rewarded in God. And friend, you will be bold as a lion if you get confidence in God. It will give you access to God, and you will come and present yourself as a living sacrifice and offer to God your needs with assurance that he is going to hear and he is going to answer, that he is a God that upbraideth not, but he is a God that says, come all, whosoever will come. But you can't be pathetic, and you can't be timid, and you can't be mild-mannered. You've got to take a hold of the horns of the altar and make a demand. And there's a reason why God said in the Old Testament, you, the poor little human that you are, command ye me and I will perform your command. God is looking for a bold people. I love this verse in Hebrews 10:19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. When you understand that verse as it is recorded in the Old Testament, there was a tabernacle, an outer court, an inner court, and the holiest of holies. And it was in the holiest of holies that God's presence dwelt to absolve the sin of Israel year after year. And so he said, by boldness you enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time you stood up and prayed your best prayer. It's time you offered your best praise. It's time you sang your greatest song. It's time that you demanded that God save your house and your household, that God open up his heaven and pour you out a blessing, not that you could use part of, but more than you can use and obtain until it overflows. That's what God wants to do for you. The Bible said Joseph of Arimathea, the friend of Jesus, came when Christ's body was crucified, and he came with boldness and craved the body of Jesus Christ. It's time the church of the living body crave the body of Christ. Let the body of Christ be what God said it would be, a place of holiness, a body without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. The world has failed itself. Governments are crashing. There is no answer from the laboratories of the science. And now it's time for the church of the living God to go into the holiest of holies with prayer and say, God, we can rid this nation and this world of a pandemic because we are bold prayer warriors, and we can make a difference in our lives, and we can make a difference in our families. We can make a difference in our church. We can make a difference in our state. We can make a difference in our nation, and we can make a difference in our world because we have confidence that our God was, is, and will be, that he's the same yesterday and forever, and he has not changed, that he's not anticlimactic, but he is the God of the grand finale. He is the God of the big finish, and God is alive and well, and he is waiting for the people of God to stand up and declare, I'm as bold as a lion, and I storm the gates of heaven. Can you say amen? Can you praise God? Can somebody give the Lord a shout of praise and acclamation? Can somebody be bold for the Lord? Can somebody sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Hallelujah! Brother Dan, praise God. I speak life and health over you. The doctors are wrong. Whose report are you going to believe? I speak that you're going to live in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Give God a shout. Give God a praise. God is in this room right now. He wants to cast somebody's sin away from them that is robbing them of the good life as far from you as the east is from the west. God is in this house right now. He wants to heal somebody's body. God is in this house right now. He wants to take some mother's prayer and turn it into an angelic reform, and an angel leaves you right now and runs out this house and goes to where your son or your daughter is and brings salvation to your family. Can somebody say yay and amen? Say, I've got confidence. Look at somebody and say, I've got confidence. And I'm as bold as a lion. And that gives me access in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm bold in the Lord. I'm bold in the Lord. I'm a big fan of Franklin Graham. I love Billy Graham, but I'm a big fan of Franklin Graham. He's not nearly as smooth as Billy Graham was. He doesn't pull his punch as well as Billy Graham did. He's tough. When they ask him on a night talk show, you mean you believe that you have to accept Jesus Christ to be saved? That Muslims are not saved? That Hindus are not saved? He said, that's exactly what I believe. Friend, that takes guts when 20 million people are watching you. It's all right to say it here at Living Way Church, but when the cameras are turning and the nation is looking on you and just looking for a reason to brand you as a bigot, he would not pull his punch. Why is that? He has access. He has boldness. Neither is there salvation in any other. It's the boldness of exclusivity, believing that we alone are the body of Christ and the wife of God, and besides there is no other. If this gospel is hid, it is hid to those that are lost. Jesus Christ is not a way, Oprah. He is the only way. The only way, praise God. Jesus said, except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. I am bold enough to declare that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. There is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. The boldness of the anointed. The Bible said when they prayed, the place was shaken, and they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. When you get the anointing on you, you will be bold. And the way you get the anointing is to get access to God and to get in his presence. I am a bold preacher of the word of God. And the Bible said we shall be bold in our testimony, telling people what God has done for you. Do you have a testimony? You said, how in the world did you get saved? The Bible said, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Is there any difference in your life? Ladies and gentlemen, if there is no difference in your life from the time you were a sinner and the time you claimed to be a Christian, you're not really saved. Because there will be a distinction. There will be a difference. There will be a testimony. Look where God brought me from. Look what I used to be and what I am now. Look how I used to live and how I live now. It's called the boldness of testimony. You simply don't care. My friend Chester Hensley was an amazing man. God used him greatly. God would reveal to him people's sickness. He'd call you out and could tell you exactly what your sickness was. I saw him do it many, many times. But I saw him in Houston, Texas, when he was calling them out. People would come and stand in front of him, and he would tell them what their sickness was. And one lady came and stood before him, and she said, Pastor Hensley, what's my sickness? He said, you don't have a sickness, lady. You went to the doctor today, and you were given a perfect bill of health. But when I told people you had a sickness, you were going to turn to this congregation and reveal me as a fraud. Is that not true? She said, that's exactly true. This guy was as bold as a lion. He was preaching in Kansas and having a great meeting in a little church there, and it kind of got out of hand. It got loud. It got noisy. People were getting saved. And a little woman that lived right down the street, only a few houses away, called the police and said, they're disturbing the peace. The police came and said, Reverend Hensley, can you hold it down a little bit? He said, not a bit. He said, in fact, we might turn it up a little bit. And so it went to court. And the little lady was put on the stand and said, "You mean you live three doors down and it was disturbing? Their religious service disturbed you." And she said, "Well, it wasn't so bad when my windows were closed, but," she said, "when I opened my windows, it was really bad." The judge said, "You mean when you open your windows, you couldn't rest in here?" She said, "It wasn't as bad when I opened my windows as when I walked down the sidewalk." He said, "You mean that when you walked down the sidewalk, it was disturbing you?" She said, "It wasn't as bad when I walked down the sidewalk as when I got up on the church steps." He said, "If you got up on the church steps, it was disturbing you." She said, "When I peeked in those church windows, it really bothered me." And he said, "Reverend, do you have anything to say?" And Chester Hensley got up in that court of law in Kansas and said, "Yeah, I've got something to say." He said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I was a sinner and God saved me." And he said, "Let me tell you about my experience. God filled me with the Holy Ghost." He said, "I've got a sermon to preach, a testimony to give, and a song to sing, and nobody's going to stop me. You put me in jail, I'll still do it just like Paul and Silas." The judge said, "I don't know quite what to do here, Reverend." He said, "Is there any way you could demonstrate?" He said, "Well, my guitar's in the car. If you'd let me get my guitar, I could demonstrate, Your Honor." He said, "Somebody go get his guitar." And so there he sat on the witness stand, strumming his guitar, and he began to sing. The courtroom was full of Pentecostals, and they began to sing with him. After a while, the old judge got out his handkerchief and started wiping his tears and said, "This reminds me of my grandmother's church." Case dismissed. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to stand up for your rights. You've got to have confidence in Almighty God. You've got to get as bold as a lion because you've got access with the Father through the Son, Christ Jesus, and no weapon formed against you shall prosper. We are the people of the living God. It's time for the church to take over because there is no answer in this world. I want to tell you that God has called us to the kingdom of God for such a time as this. Esther, just because you are occupying a place of privilege, you talk about privilege, if you're born again, if you're spirit-filled, if you're speaking in tongues, if you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, you are a person of privilege. But we cannot just occupy the place of privilege while the world goes to hell. We've got to stand up and speak up and stand out and say, "Jesus Christ is Lord," and everybody must bow to that name, and everybody must come to repentance because Christ is the only way. We have to become like Esther. We've got to come out from the shadows and declare our God is in charge. Ladies and gentlemen, I beseech you that God is calling on you to spew forth your testimony on your job, at work, in school, family reunions, Walmart, wherever you are. I was preaching in Knoxville, Tennessee at a camp meeting, and I was preaching this kind of faith that we have to get it out. And they called me and said, "Sir, can you come to the police station? We have one of your parishioners here." When I got there, this was his story. He got so excited at the camp meeting while I was preaching during the day. I was preaching day and night services. He got so excited. Back in those days, Kmart was big. He went down to Kmart and got on the little phone they had there for the blue light special and began to preach to them, and they arrested him. And when they got him in his squad car, he preached to the police. When they got him in the jail, he preached to the prisoners, and they said, "We don't know what to do with him." I said, "The best thing you do is turn him loose." They said, "I think you're right." They turned him loose. Friend, I'm telling you, this thing was not done in a corner. Our light is not under a bushel. It's time the church of the living God rose to a standing posture and declared, "My God is the God of the universe. My God is able. My God is a savior. My God is a healer. My God is a liberator. My God is a baptizer. My God is a provider, and he's in this house right now." Ladies and gentlemen, the church sits and huddles and waits for God to intercede, and God is waiting for the knock on his door. God is waiting for the request. He said, "Knock, I'll answer. seek and you'll find. God is waiting on the church of the living God to be the church. We can be quiet no longer. We can be polite no longer. It's time the church of the living God went to the head of the line and declared, I've got the answer. I've got the answer to the pandemic. I've got the answer to the world dilemma. I've got the answer to racism. I've got the answer, and my answer is in the God whom I serve. I will not bow and I will not burn, because my God is an ever-present help and he's on me right now. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the church of the living God to experience an anointing like we've never had it. They say about Amy Simple McPherson, she could not travel with public transportation because she walked in the airport. People literally began to fall on the floor as she walked by them. And they got to where they made her fly first class, and they escorted her first class with personal guards because she couldn't go through the airport without causing a disturbance. It's time the church of the living God disturbed this world. Pray until the anointing comes. Worship until you've got power, until you are a force in this world. This world is looking for an antichrist, but before an antichrist comes, there has to be a church that is mighty in power, in anointing, and the spirit of the Holy Ghost. Stand on your feet, lift your hands, and give God some praise today in the name of Jesus. The Holy Ghost is in this room now. The Holy Ghost is in this room now. 25 years ago, I received a call from Odessa, Texas, from a man by the name of J.T. Pugh, one of the greatest preachers I ever heard. He said, Steve, I can't get to San Antonio for several hours. He said, one of the greatest ladies of our church here in Odessa, son was in an accident. Swimming in a lake, and he got too close to a boat propeller, and it cut him all up. And they airlifted him to San Antonio, to Downtown Baptist. I'm asking you to go until I get there. And when I got there, the doctors told us there was absolutely no hope. They'd do what they could, but they said there's zero chance that he will live. But the problem they didn't realize they had was they had one woman that had confidence, that had access, that was terribly bold. And I don't know how many times they run this little woman. She didn't weigh 100 pounds and had a little bun on the back of her head. And I don't know how many times they ran her out of that operating room where they were trying to sew her son up. And they kept running her out. She'd come back and said, well, they made me leave again. They made me leave again. She'd sit in that little hospital, in that little waiting room, and just talk in tongues and call on Jesus. That Jewish doctor came out after hours, and he said to me, Reverend, he said, when they brought him, I wouldn't give him any chance of living. And he said, I think he's going to make a full recovery. And he said, Reverend, I don't know much about your faith. I'm a Jew, and I'm not a practicing Jew. I'm an agnostic Jew. I don't even know if there is a God. But he said, what happened in that room was not because of these hands. It was because of that little woman right there. I don't know what she's got, but she literally saved her son's life. Friend, I'm going to tell you, get confidence. Your God is a good God. Your God is a real God. Your God is a mighty God. Your God is a miraculous God. And when you get that confidence, you're going to be as bold as a lion. And when you get as bold as a lion, you're going to have access to God and access to people of power that can change this world. Can you say amen? If you're in this room right now and you need a miracle in your life, or you need a miracle in your family,